This is Speaker Newt Gingrich, and I'm listening to Paying Attention with Tom Duggan on WCAP, where everybody gets it.
25 to 30 years of administration that we've had in this city that has only represented one district in this city. I'll say it.
Say it.
It'll be reported tomorrow. Tommy's going to report it.
You bet.
I'll tell you, Tommy's got a lot of balls to be in here tonight.
But you know, do you have anybody? Do I have anything for music? No, sorry. 978-454-4980. It's probably my fault somehow, right?
I'm trying to work the Charmed theme song here.
There we go. Now, you might not think that I'd be a Charmed kind of guy that would watch a show like that.
Never in my life would I think you're a Charmed kind of guy.
Sorry. I know it kind of ruins my reputation, but I have a thing for redheads, and Rose McGowan in that show, I know she looks hideous now that she's gotten all the plastic surgery, but when she was on that show, I think probably definitely top 10 hottest women around.
She always had a, like a, she kind of always kind of looked like a slut.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
She always kind of looked like, you know, real dirty. I can't hear.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said you can't use that word because Scott Brown is going to have to denounce you for using that word because you're being an evil, miserable man like Rush Limbaugh.
Well, what's funny is before Rush Limbaugh said that, I actually posted that online, and you should have seen the women who were like excoriating me for it. But I mean, come on, let's face it. If you're spending $3,000 during your college career for contraception, honestly, what would you call that?
I don't care. She's over 18, she can do what she wants with her body. You don't have to call her anything. Just don't ask me to pay for your. Not that you don't have to pay for it, is that an insurance company shouldn't have to pay for it. If she wants an insurance company that does pay for it, she can find an insurance company that does pay for it. That's called the free market.
Right.
And that's my. And there would be competing health insurance companies if it wasn't for government regulation that didn't allow them to compete. And if. That there's all kinds of things that are messed up with our healthcare system that come about because government intervention and government mandates. And I mean, I have the insurance coverage that I buy has to pay for pregnancy. I don't have a family. I don't have someone that has it. Why do I have to get the coverage that pays for a pregnancy? Right. I'm not in the pool that can get pregnant unless, you know, something happens and, you know, Danny DeVito or Arnold Schwarzenegger can have a baby and then, you know, we can all have babies then.
Right.
But until that happens, there's no reason that I should be in that pool, that I should have to force myself to be in that pool. And there's no reason that a skinny person should force themselves into the pool that pays for me to get a, you know, a stomach stapling or something like that. I mean, the insurance companies do that to spread risk, and that's their private business decision that they do that for. I get that. But the government shouldn't force people to be in those pools because the government intervention always drives up the cost. Right.
In the studio, we have Chris Sheldon. He's a candidate for Congress. We have a couple of calls, though. We don't normally have calls, Chris, so I don't...
That's all right. Go ahead with the calls.
I don't normally...
I've been pushing the calls. I'm sorry. I'm pushing the calls on Facebook. I've been pushing the calls. It'll be on Twitter, so we'll see who's calling.
Yeah, there's some people we can enjoy. Go ahead.
Say hi to my friend, too, Jennifer Loken, who's actually on TV every week on Saturday on cable doing a cooking show while we're watching it. She lives like out in Kentucky somewhere. She's a Facebook friend. And every day I look up and I go, hey, she's my Facebook friend. That's pretty cool. We have two people on the line. Who do you want to go to first? We'll leave Patch for last. Frank McMillan is a candidate for a town moderator in North Andover. And we're going to be sponsoring a debate the week before the election. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Now, when is the election?
North Andover.
What did I say, Andover?
Yes.
Sorry, North Andover. I should know my own hometown.
I heard North. I heard North.
Okay. Yeah, probably cut out, though. So you're running for moderator. You got big shoes to fill with Charlie Salisbury stepping down and not running for re-election. He's been an icon as a moderator and a very, very fair moderator over the last 20-some-odd years. You're running to fill his seat. How will you run the town meetings, and what will you do as a town moderator?
Well, the reason that I'm running is that Charlie Salisbury really did have some big shoes to fill. And, you know, it's going to be a tough act to follow. But I think that this is exactly the reason why I got in the race. I think it's very important that you know, that the people who go to town meeting trust that the moderator doesn't have an agenda and that they'll be fair to the majority and to the minority. As far as, you know, running the meeting goes, you know, that's fairly straightforward. There's a series of procedural rules where main motions get introduced. They're allowed to debate, and then the debate closes. But the person who closes that debate is the moderator. So, in a sense, the moderator decides when enough has been said and it's time to call for a vote. That's a very important responsibility, and the way that that's done really can be, it can be done fairly or unfairly, to be frank with you. And I think that I've got a track record for fairness, and I've been on the health board for about 6 years now. And, you know, we do always try to hear both sides. I mean, ultimately, you have to come to a decision, and in those situations, the majority is going to rule. But I think that the important part of what the moderator does is it also protects the rights of the minority as well.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that the moderator does, too, is appoints members to the Finance Committee. And even though everybody always likes to pretend that these are nonpartisan elections at the local level, if you've got a liberal who is appointing people to your Finance Committee, those are the people that go over the budget and decide how to spend the money. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing if you've got a liberal or a conservative and the difference between the way they would run the town. As town moderator, Charlie always tried to have people who were conservatives on the Finance Committee, though he was also fair and tried to balance it. You're running against two gentlemen, Mr. Barry and Mark DeSalvo. Mr. Barry has committed to coming in for the debate. You have committed to coming in for the debate. We are still waiting on Mark DeSalvo, but if we can get the three of you in here, I think the only people who really win are the people of North Andover.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the thing is that, you know, a lot of people just don't know who we are, and they're going a little bit on faith. They may be taking a recommendation from a friend. I think that, you know, before you cast your vote, you ought to have a good idea of whom you're casting your vote for. And I think that I'm going to be somebody who shows well in that sort of forum. I mean, my whole career, I'm a medical doctor, and I've worked in the Lowell area. I currently work in Haverhill, and I have a presence in Andover, Newburyport, Salem, New Hampshire, and Derry, New Hampshire. But my job involves listening to people. I don't do a good job if I'm the one who's talking, and I think that one of the qualities that you want to have in a moderator is you want to have somebody who can listen and who also kind of gets cues, who can read the meeting, who can see where the meeting's going, and kind of let the meeting go to where it wants to go. Just if you don't mind my filibuster, I want to get back onto the Finance Committee. I think that, you know, Charlie really did try to balance that committee. And I would say that I'm interested in, first of all, finding people who are willing to serve. But the qualities that I would look for in those who are willing are basically people who do understand that it's a very important job, that they get the chance to make the financial vetting. I mean, they're really the ones who look into these things deeply. The meeting's not going to look into the budget matters in any way of depth. They're very good at making a binary decision, you know, yes or no, but they're not going to go into the nuances. So the people who are vetting that budget, you know, need to be responsible, and they need to understand that they have a fiduciary, and that fiduciary is to the town. It's not to any particular group. It's not to different interest groups in town. It's to the town meeting. It's there to make an honest appraisal of, you know, what the resources of the town are and how they should best be prioritized. So I'm looking for people who have chemistry, who can work with other people, and who can prioritize things and make a responsible decision more than anything else.
Mr. McMillan, I appreciate you calling in, and as we do with all candidates, if you want to give a phone number or an email address or a website that people can contribute if they want to get involved with your campaign.
Yes. Let me give you the phone number. It's going to be area 978.
Yes.
794-4607. And the address, if they want to contribute, is the Committee to Elect Frank McMillan. That's spelled M-A-C, capital M-I-L-L-A-N. And the street address is 184 Carter Field Road in North Andover. 01845, and I thank you very much for the chance to speak to your listening audience.
Oh, no problem. And anybody who missed that, we will podcast the show afterwards. You'll be able to get that on the podcast, so you can kind of rewind that and get those numbers if you want. Thank you so much for calling in, Frank. And by the way, good luck. And please,
please
call me off the air in a couple hours after we go off.
Great. Thanks. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, one more call. Pat, you're on the air.
Hey, Tommy. Happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much, and no excuses for you.
Look, no excuses. I've just been busy. I got a lot of stuff. I'll off here to fill you in on everything.
All right, very good.
Okay, fair enough?
All right, very good.
Hey, listen, normally I agree with you on a lot of stuff. Sometimes we disagree on a couple different things, but I'll tell you what. I'm with you kind of on the Rose McGowan thing, but I'm sorry. I'm a big Alyssa Milano fan.
Oh, God help us all.
I think she just blows her doors off.
Who's
this, Alyssa Milano?
I find nothing attractive about Alyssa Milano.
Oh, Alyssa Milano, you know.
She's smoking.
No, she's not.
I had, when I was in junior high school, I so wanted to kill Lowell's own Scott Grimes.
Yeah.
Because Scott Grimes' Chad character was dating Alyssa Milano on Who's the Boss.
No.
It was like, Scott, what are you doing? You're killing me. You're taking my girl. Yeah. But no, yeah, that was Scott's first big role, I think, because he was in that and then Band of Brothers and, you know, multimedia.
Right.
Superstar, right. Lowell's own Scott Grimes.
Right.
Yes.
Excellent.
But I think they actually dated too. So, you know, you should talk off the air. We'll try and get you in touch with Scott and you guys can talk about Alyssa Milano.
Yeah, I just want to use his connection so I can meet Rose McGowan. I don't care about Alyssa Milano at all.
One question I'd like you to ask some of these candidates that are up and coming in the area.
Yeah.
Sue Tucker ran and bailed, but she did a couple good things, even though I disagree with them most times. Definitely the insurance rates dropped down in Lawrence. But she was really for, and I expressed this a while ago to you, pulling the dams down and open up some of the fisheries along the Shawsheen.
Yep.
They're useless. They don't do anything. They used to provide power. And all they do is cause flooding now. And that, I mean, you know, think about the millions and billions of dollars that's when we do get some heavy rains in the spring and just the inconvenience and all that, they're useless. And they would also get some of the fishery back up and running out of the Merrimack now that that's cleaned up. I'd love to hear them because the ball was completely dropped on that. It was going forward and then boom, nothing.
You know who would be a good contact person to help get that going if you're interested? You ought to call Bruce Tara Newberry. I know he's working. He's doing an awful lot of stuff with the fishermen who are doing deep sea fishing. And
yeah.
So he's really up on a lot of the fishing regulations and stuff. That's kind of his thing. So, but Rob, you probably know a lot about
this. I was going to say, you could also call Michael Weston. I think, you know, he's got some C4 and you can just blow the dams yourself, right? We just won't tell anybody.
All right.
But I mean, it's one of those things, Tommy. I just go back and forth on it, but it's one of those things I think that any town along the river drops the ball when they don't, a free resource and they don't make good of it. It's just stupid.
All right. I guess I'm done with you, so get off my show.
All right, goodbye.
All right, it was Alyssa Milano baloney. Alyssa Milano, come on.
So you know, I know he's listening. I think he still does the editorial cartoons for the Valley Patriot every once in a while. My friend Dave Sullivan.
Dave Sullivan was there.
Yes, my friend Dave Sullivan said that we'd talk over each other the entire time, and I think we've been very, very civil, and we're not talking over each other. He just thought that.
Oh, you mean
the two of us in a room would probably talk, but which reminds me of something else. If I can, I don't normally do a plug, and I'm not going to plug myself, but if I can plug somebody,
sure.
Dave and I used to do community theater in Lowell. That's how Dave and I met, and one of the guys that used to be our directors for the play-by-players is a well-known playwright and theater organizer out in Western Massachusetts, and he's been in some movies, and he's trying to bring musical theater back to the city of Lowell, an actual, not the Merrimack rep that does all kinds of theater, but an actual musical theater company. And they're trying to put on The Music Man coming up in the fall. And what they need is they need some donations. There's this website, Kickstarter, that helps you get donations for nonprofit projects. And if you go to Kickstarter.com and put in Music Man Lowell and throw $5 or $10 his way, that will help bring 76 trombones
to
the city of Lowell. So yeah, so his name's Jack Neary. He's a very well-known playwright, good friend of mine.
I worked with Jack.
You work with Jack?
Yeah, back at Drake at High School.
He did all the musicals at Drake at High School Lee. And it's actually Lee is part of it. So
yeah,
they're trying
imagine.
To bring music theater
I can
back
imagine.
To...
Yeah, I know Jack well. He's great. Very talented guy.
Very guy.
He
so
was
if
in
you
the
can...
town I just saw him in, and yeah, he's been
oh,
a
yeah, he was. Yeah, he was the... Jack was the scared off his butt ticket taker at the town, or something like
yeah,
that, at the town,
the
like
security
screaming.
Guard
yeah.
at,
security
at
guard,
Fenway
yeah.
Park, yes.
At Fenway Park. So that's he was also, if you have the old VCR Clue game, if you ever played VCR Clue, he was Professor Plum. So
oh, really?
we used to ran the magnetics off of that tape. And when I met him, so I have my own trading card of Jack Neary because we still have the Professor Plum trading card. So.
So when I actually write my first play, you're the guy I should talk to because you get all the connections.
Yeah, we got some connections. But with Jack Neary, I'm like 2 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon.
Nice.
Yes.
Now, we've been neglecting him since he showed up an hour ago.
Oh, yeah, he is here.
But Chris Sheldon's running for Congress, and I wanted to give you an opportunity, even though most of the listeners on the AM signal are probably not from your congressional district.
Absolutely.
We have tons of people who listen to the podcast from all over the country, not just all over the state. We have a lot of people who listen from the Quincy area. So we wanted to have you to come in to talk about your candidacy, who you're running against, why you think people should vote for you, obviously give all your numbers for people to donate and stuff like that. But first, tell us who you are. Why are you running for Congress? What's your district?
Well, before I even get started, I should say the good news is Quincy is not in my district anymore.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're absolutely thrilled. I live down in Plymouth. Quincy and Weymouth used to be in the district. As you know, those were kind of Bill Keating's adopted hometowns when he moved from Sharon to Quincy to run in the 2010 race. After the 2010 redistricting or the 2011 redistricting process, Quincy and Weymouth got removed, and the district has shifted much further south to the Marshfield area. Makes up the Marshfield, Hanover, Norwell make up the northern border of the district along the South Shore. It goes from there south, including Plymouth. We have the entire Cape and the Islands in the district, as well as the South Coast from Wareham to New Bedford. For those of your listeners that don't know me terribly well, my name is Chris Sheldon, running for Congress in the 9th District, and I grew up in Andover, right next door to Lowell. You mentioned La Boniche earlier in the program.
Yeah, they sponsored one of our raffle items.
One of the sponsors of the program, one of the sponsors of the Valley Patriot. My father was actually a chef at La Boniche.
No kidding.
For a couple of years while he was getting his French culinary arts training. So, you know, big fan of the restaurant, been there many times. Father actually used to have a business located just off of Morissette Boulevard over by the high school here in Lowell. So spent a lot of time growing up in the area. Loved the Merrimack Valley. Swam up in Haverhill for the Haverhill Y swim team. Went to Andover High School, was captain of the swim team at Andover High School. Still volunteer as the diving coach for the high school team, which swam against the Lowell Red Raiders at the state championship meet just last week. So lots of roots to the area, so I'm happy to be in the area whenever I get an opportunity. You asked a bunch of questions. What else can I fill your listeners in on?
Well, okay, so now tell, why should people vote for you? Say I live in Wareham, which, by the way, you can get Valley Patriots in Wareham.
Sure.
Let's say I live in Wareham, and you're now, you know, I'm now part of that district. Maybe I voted for Keating last time. Maybe I'm an independent and I just didn't like the other guy. Why should I vote for you? Like, give me a good reason why I should vote against the guy that's already there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm running for Congress for two reasons, and I think this is kind of gets to what your question is asking. One is because I think the government can do things a lot better. I think that we can be more efficient. I think that we can get government doing what it's supposed to be doing. And two, because I'm looking for people I'm looking at government and I say to myself, none of these people really represent me or represent what I'm about. And I go around the district and I talk to people and I tell them these two things. And almost every single person that I speak to says, yeah, you know, of course government can do things better. And of course these people don't represent me. And I say, well, why is that? Well, you know, the people that run for office, they don't, you know, they're a different type of people. You know, they're not real people. They're not regular people.
For the most part, that's true.
which blows me away, right? I mean, you have to be a millionaire to run as a Republican in Massachusetts.
Right.
You have to be a professional politician. You have to be a lawyer. And most normal people don't relate to those types of individuals. You know, I'm running because I am a regular guy, because I've had you know, experience in the private sector. You know, my stump speech starts out with 33 and 13. I'm 33 years old. You know, very excited to be representing one of the younger Republicans in the party that we talked about on your show a little bit earlier. And I've got 13 years of private sector experience, which, by the way, is 13 years more private sector experience than the incumbent.
Really?
Bill Keating was elected to state rep when he was 25 years old. He's been a public servant ever since. He's now in his 60s. So you're talking about 30, pushing 40 years of public sector experience. Not a single year of experience managing a payroll, helping a business grow, making some of the tough decisions that businesses have to make every day. I spent 5 years working for a Wall Street brokerage firm. I know the good and the bad of the Wall Street markets. You know, there's a lot of great things that the capital markets provide to our businesses, and there's a lot of things that they get wrong. You know, how can we have somebody managing, you know, the financial sector, making financial regulations like Dodd-Frank, if they've never had any experience in the financial markets whatsoever. I've also worked for small businesses. I helped a small consumer goods company in Florida double in size for each of 3 years running as the head of their sales department, was involved in making payroll, was involved in hiring and firing, got to see how a small business operates firsthand, went, got my master's in business and marketing and finance at the University of Florida, and then immediately went into management consulting. I worked for strategy consulting firms in New York and Chicago, managing Fortune 500 corporations. All of that experience is experience that Bill Keating is just, I mean, he's just never come close to.
Right.
And that's why I think, you know, people will relate to me. I think they see a younger guy, a guy that really gets, you know, what we need, which is to get our economy stronger. And a guy that they can relate to, that's been out there, that's a volunteer coach for high school diving, that's volunteered for the American Red Cross Disaster Services, that's, you know, is a member of Plymouth Plantation and all of the other local community groups that Bill Keating, you know, just moving back into the district for the third time in a row, you know, has really never been a part of. So I think that's why people are drawn to my campaign. I think that's why they're drawn to me. And I think that's what I offer the people of the 9th District.
Now, I know issues mean absolutely nothing in a political campaign.
No, it's like 9th on the list of things that are most important.
Yeah, and even though the media pretends that issues are important,
we
all know from going through all these campaigns that really issues mean absolutely nothing.
Sure.
But for those few people who do care about issues,
absolutely,
tell us where the issues you would differ with Keating on, you know, major stuff, whether it's taxation, whether it's,
you know, I've got a couple of stories for you on that one, because these are interesting. You know, people say, you know, what is the difference between Bill Keating and yourself? And the very first thing that I say is just look at the first piece of legislation that Bill Keating filed. And I'm sure you guys weren't familiar with it up here, but the first piece of legislation he filed was to take all of the fines and fees that were levied on the fishing industry and the fishermen across the United States, and to take all of that money and rather than that money going into the general pool, make sure that money goes into research. And that's great. You know, I suppose research is something that should be funded, you know, one way or the other. But when I look at our fishing industry and I look at the troubles that are facing our fishing industry, I look at the fines and regulations and say, man, what can we do to get that money back into the pockets of the fishermen, to get that money back into the fishing industry so that they can use that money the best way that they see fit and so that they can help grow their businesses and help survive? And Bill Keating says, no, that money should go to research. I mean, if there was more a clear contrast between Bill Keating and myself and our approaches to the fishing industry and to business in general, I think that's the epitome. I have another quick story that I'll tell you if you guys have a minute.
Sure. Because you're talking so fast, you've done 40 minutes worth of stuff.
Great. That's
great.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am.
My mind
rambles, so yeah, it helps write the articles. You know, they can just through, slow it down a little bit, and make sure they get all the words. But it's less tape time. I was jarring with one of Keating's interns on Twitter, and I know when I have a strategist, the day comes I have a strategist, they'll slap the phone out of my hand and say no. But you know, Keating's intern tried to friend me on Facebook. I kindly declined. I saw that he was endorsing Bill Keating on Twitter. you know, just a couple of days later, and I tweeted back to him. I said, you know, I thought you wanted to be my friend, and here you are endorsing my opponent. He wrote back. He's like, well, I can't be your friend. I don't agree with any of your policies. I can't be your friend. He said, we can still be friends, but I can't endorse you because I don't agree with any of your policies. And I said, well, you don't know any of my policies.
Right.
And I say that because unless he's been in one of these town committee rooms or, you know, some of the local Republican meetings or the Tea Party meetings where I've been talking about policy, I haven't published anything yet. And it's not deliberate. It's just, you know, where I am in the campaign. But I know that there's nothing public out there. And so he responded back, well, I know some of your policies. I know you're for term limits and lower taxes.
Yeah, and that's bad. If you're a liberal, that's bad. You're for lowering. You want to give people back their own money? How dare you?
I had to stop the conversation right there. I didn't even respond. If ever there was a more clear contrast between Bill Keating and myself, you want to sum it up in a word or two. I am for term limits. I am for lower taxes. My opponent is not. And that's it. That's the end of the story. I don't think we need to have the race. I mean, as long as Bill puts on a bumper sticker that he's for no term limits and higher taxes, I think we're done.
Yeah.
We can all go home.
Just because puppy girl's listening, are you for puppies?
I love puppies.
There you go.
Love puppies. Love kittens. I have two cats at home.
Yeah, we don't care about kittens.
Well, I like cats.
That's fine, but that's not going to get you any points.
They're Zazzy. They do Zazz.
Yeah.
Long story.
I have two cats. Actually, I had two cats. I lost them in the divorce. I don't know how that happened, but I did.
They didn't want to separate them?
So, and I've actually thought about getting a lawyer to get them back, I just don't want to deal with her anymore. Like, at this point, it's just better to let her keep my cats.
Yeah.
Even though I miss them really bad.
And the MSPCA is a great organization. We have one right up in Methuen.
Yep.
You can go up there. The cats are wonderful. My family's had a couple of cats from the Methuen MSPCA, so you can always get more.
Awesome. 978-454-4980. Oh, Tim.
There's no way that she called here. You know who? Puppy
who?
Girl.
No.
There's no way you begged her, right?
Can you cue up what's the song that we play for Puppy Girl? Puppy Love by and they called it Puppy Love, Donny Osmond.
We're going to just leave her hanging until we can get the story.
Yeah,
song
she has to wait until
and
we get her.
They called it Puppy Love.
So seriously, you begged her, right?
No, I didn't.
Must have been the cats.
All right, let's just get her on the air. Who cares about the music? We're neglecting Puppy Girl. You're on the air, dear.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
After Thursday night, I'm doing fantastic.
Good. Well, I wanted to call in and say thank you so much for the party and the opportunity to MC it and meet everybody. I mean, I just had such a great time. I can't wait for the next one. So thank you.
Yay.
It's fantastic. I'm sorry.
We have to come up with reasons to keep her on the line because I have nothing else to say.
Well, do we want to draw her into the conversation about puppies and the MSPCA?
Well, what I think is funny, if we're going to talk about puppies, is we have a Labradoodle at home. My roommate bought a Labradoodle, and I guess Labradoodles have hip dysplasia, so they give you a money-back guarantee with the dog that they sell you. I just want to know, does anybody give their dog back because the hips go out? I mean, it's like, really? It's like the weirdest thing. It's like they know you're never going to bring the dog back because you're going to become emotionally attached to the dog. So, yeah, we'll give you another dog if the hips go out.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
You'd be surprised. Being in rescue, people give back their dogs all the time for the craziest reasons. And
sad.
It's mind-boggling. You'd be amazed. It really kind of gets under our skin a lot. But it does happen. So I wouldn't be surprised if people, do give them back. For that reason as well, just add it to the list.
Well, and the only thing I could think of is, do you show Labradoodles? Because, show dogs have a different set of standards than...
No, I don't think Labradoodles are technically not a breed.
They're not one of those breeds?
They're a cute mutt.
Yeah, that's a designer mix.
Now, Puppy Girl, can we...
people are liking these days.
Can we get a commitment from you to MC our show next year?
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to if I'm around.
Make sure we record that.
Hopefully I will be. This year was great because I wasn't traveling or anything, and so hopefully I'll be around next year. And if I am, I will definitely be there. And it was so much fun to meet my readers. People were coming up to me saying how much they enjoy my column, and like you were saying earlier, Facebook friends you're able to kind of connect with and meet for the first time, and just catch up with old friends. And it was just a great night. And I know the weather, wasn't the best, but for the people that did make it out, it was just I think it was a great turnout. So.
I just got a text. We just sold 15 tables for next year's event.
Stop.
Well, listen, Puppy Girl, I mean, she has a real name. I had to be reminded that night to stop calling her Puppy Girl.
Right?
Her name is Kate. Kate, we really appreciate you participating in the event, and I'm really convinced that most of the people in that room were only there to come see you. So we need you for next year.
So they were there to support you and everything you've done with the paper, and I mean it was a whole inclusive night. It was about everybody, and I think a lot of new friendships were made, and it was just great. It was just so much fun. I know you guys have already talked about it this morning. I was listening to the show, and you've kind of moved on from it. So.
Well, listen, I know
that. I just wanted to share my opinion.
I know that there were a lot of movers and shakers in that room, people who are senators, state representatives, local officials. Anytime you have any kind of legislation to help the puppies or to help animal rights, now we've networked you with people who can get that done. So when you read something in the paper and you say, that's terrible, we should do something about it. Yeah. Now you've got a list of people that you can tap into to actually really do something about it rather than just complain.
Exactly, as I'm really good at complaining about dog rights and everything, but now I have, I hopefully have some people on my side, so you're totally right with that. I'm really excited. They're just a great group of people, and I want to wish the Valley Patriots luck in their season. What a great group that was there.
We hooked them up with your dad. We hooked them up with your dad. Your dad's going to be using them for his new invention.
I know. I know. That's fantastic. Yeah, we're really excited about that. Can't wait. Or we're, I promise that I go to some of their games and support them.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
That was going to be the best attended softball games anybody's ever seen, ever.
I hope so.
Well, Poppy girl, I hate to say goodbye to you because if I had my way, we'd just fill the entire show with you. But
I'm here at the golf show in Boston, so I gotta get in. You know, that is my full time job, so I'm doing that. But I just wanted to say thank you again so much for a great night the other night, and I can't wait till next year. So.
Well, we'll miss you, Poppy girl, and thank you so much for everything you do. One last thing is, make sure you get me your column this weekend.
Oh, yes, I will. It's on my to-do list. Thank you for the reminder.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, have a good one, you guys.
Bye. My tears for you. My tears are all in vain. I hope and I pray that maybe someday. You want to bounce this right into a commercial?
For good to protect the rest of us. You carried a gun because you were a street terrorist, and that's what you are. It is incumbent upon the court to impose the sentence of death. That is all. Take him away.
This is the Paying Attention Radio Program.
978-454.
If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up.
Probably my phone. Ode to Joy, bringing us back from the break. I think, honey, I think that's the trip we should do this spring. We should do Montreal. Rob Eno can absolutely come, because I've seen you party, my friend, and I definitely want you at any party I have.
Fantastic.
What's in Montreal that's fantastic?
Seal meat.
Seal meat.
It is legal to eat the baby seals in Montreal.
Yeah, I would never.
We are having no. We're having. There's a bunch of us that are getting together, and we're going to go up a little bit later this late winter, early spring for Operation Tasty Seal, and we're going to go up and go to a restaurant and eat us some seal meat. I mean, it's really the thing. All of the animals they tell you can't eat must just taste good.
The views
is the way that I look at it. The views and expressions of this program are yes.
You just made Puppy Girl cry.
Why did I make Puppy Girl cry?
You just made Puppy Girl cry. How could you do that?
I didn't make Puppy Girl cry.
Take it back.
Does Puppy Girl cry when somebody eats a cow? Is it just because the cow doesn't look pretty?
Look.
And look cute?
Listen.
Am I only not supposed to
eat
cute
here,
animals?
I am not here to disagree with Puppy Girl. I am only here to let you know that you made Puppy Girl cry. And that's on you, my friend.
I'm sorry, Puppy Girl.
You would never eat seal meat. Say that. I don't care if you
I would know. Never eat seal meat in Thank the presence you. Of Puppy Girl.
In the United States.
In the United States of America.
All right. Well, I guess he can't be on the show anymore. 978-454-4. You upset Poppy Girl. How could you do that? She's like sweet and nice and stuff.
It was on the bizarre foods thing with Anthony Zimmern, who came down to the Cambodian restaurant in Lowell and did all the fun stuff. And yeah. And you can get yourself some, but you don't have to go to Montreal for pork pie, but you do got to go to Montreal for the good poutine.
978-454-4980. I'm not
going
to talk to you the rest of the show. Jeez, Chris Sheldon French is here. Fries. He is a candidate for Congress. And we're just going to give you an opportunity because we can't do it at the end of the show because we never have an end of the show. It always cuts off while I'm talking.
All of a sudden it's the end.
Right,
so.
Yeah. So let's give you an opportunity to let people know how they can get in touch with you to support you for your campaign or get more information about who you are for your campaign as we do with all the candidates.
Absolutely. Anybody who wants to get in touch can reach out to my website, electsheldon.com. Elect, E-L-E-C-T, Sheldon, S-H-E-L-D-O-N, D as in David, electsheldon.com. They can give me a call on my cell phone, 781-242-0216. I want to hear from every single one of the voters in my district. I'd be thrilled to take their calls. Again, 781-242-0216.
Right.
It's what it's about. It's about hearing what their opinions are, what's important to them. Trying to represent those people. Like we said before, the big problem with a lot of our representatives is people just can't relate to them. And I want to be different. That's what I'm there. So, and get in touch with me that way. Of course, they can come down and see me at my kickoff as well, March 20th at the John Carver Inn in Plymouth. Show up. Reception starts at 6:45. Speakers are going to start around 7:15. We're going to have a Young Republicans after party at 8 o'clock at the On the Rocks Tavern just up the street. So love to have everybody there March 20th, 6:45 p.m. at the John Carver Inn and Spa in Plymouth.
All right, 978-454-4980. We have about 10 minutes left. I want to thank Alex Varis, who knows I'm on the air because he was on the show last week, who just called me on my cell phone while I'm on the air. I have no idea. How is this guy going to get elected? I don't understand.
Oh, he's good. He's got a very nice mail piece to come out today.
Tell me, how is this guy going to get elected if he can't even remember what time I'm on when he was on the show last week?
Oh, he'll get elected. He likes the Tommy. Maybe he didn't have the call-in number.
Maybe he called the wrong number.
See, yeah. I don't think he can get elected because yesterday Paula Porton was all over the Merrimack Valley Tea Party personally attacking him, calling him a liar, viciously personally attacking him. How can you get elected when you've got something like that going on?
You can call Alex Varis a lot of things. I'm not sure a liar is one of them.
Well, no, he actually, that's probably the one thing she probably is right about.
No, Alex is a friend.
No, I'm just kidding. But she's really not right about anything, actually, quite frankly.
I don't know if I know Paula Porton. Have I met Paula Porton?
I think you have.
I know the name.
I think she introduced me to you initially.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Bad Rob. Well, it's the whole thing Puppy Girl was saying. You get 1,500, 1,600 friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
Does anybody really have 1,500 or 1,600 friends?
Right.
Before we go, what I'd really like to talk about, and it's something that I've been trying to push, and you do it fantastically, is I want to. A lot of conservatives. I had someone last night go to me, Rob, is Andrew really dead? Is Breitbart really dead? Is he really dead? Is it all some ruse? Is it really dead? And unfortunately, Andrew has passed on. But what Andrew Breitbart and what we all need to know that Andrew Breitbart's lasting legacy was, is Andrew Breitbart empowered you and me. He empowered a national cadre of citizen journalists who were focused on uncovering corruption and holding the ruling class accountable. That is what Andrew Breitbart, with every ounce of his body, was about. When I sat in the car with Andrew Breitbart for a half an hour driving him to an event in Lexington, that's what he was about. He was, how are you getting your stories? What are you doing? Are you doing real journalism, or are you just parroting what other people are doing and talking about it? Are you finding your own stories? Are you getting out there? Are you digging up the dirt? And are you moving the conversation forward as a citizen journalist? And I just want those viewers and the readers of my website that are listening to realize that it's not just Tom and I and people like Sean Ash in Drakeit, who has a wonderful website called the DrakeitForum.net that talks about Drakeit politics. It's not just us.
Do you listen to the show at all?
I don't, do we not? Okay.
No, I was just wondering if you listen when you're not
here. I do sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. I do sometimes, but no. But I mean, there's people that have these things that do that, and what his legacy is that we're all Andrew Breitbart, that any single one of us can be Andrew Breitbart, and any one of us can be that person. And I just want to leave, if you think that you need, if you want one lasting thing from his life, is that you need to go out, get a website, they're pretty much free, and start your own investigative journalism. Give it to Tom if you don't want to put your name on it, or do it yourself. And people like me and Tom will amplify it so more people can see it. But that's really, it's the empowerment of the citizen to take on the ruling class.
Nice.
So that's what I think now that we're all heavy.
You know what I find really utterly disgusting? Is that the same people who cry about tolerance, the same people who talk about not judging people because they're gay or they want to get a gay marriage, the same people who talk about all of these platitudes that we know that they don't mean, but pretend that they really care about those concepts, are all over Facebook 5 seconds after they announce Andrew Breitbart is dead saying, good, I hope he rots in hell. He's evil. We're glad he's dead. Hope Dick Cheney's next. And I just go, wow, do they even realize that when something like this happens, they out themselves as the haters that they are, pretending to care about tolerance and pretending to care about, you know, not judging people and not being haters? These are the same people who have icons on their Facebook page that has the word hater with the circle with the line through it, because they're not haters and they don't like haters.
Right. You know what? I actually had a friend, very good friend from high school, that posted something like that on my wall when I was talking about it. And he's actually a somewhat conservative person. But what I said to him is, if a small fraction of the people hurl the invective at me when I die that was hurled at Andrew Breitbart, I'll know that if I've made a positive difference in this world.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's truly what it is. If you're not getting attacked by the people on the other side, you're not being effective. Because they're not going to attack somebody that's not effective.
I just think it's disgusting when someone's dead. Like when Ted Kennedy died, Ted Kennedy represented the exact opposite of everything that I believe in, everything, like 100% across the board. And he and I had actually had it out a couple of times when he came to Lawrence. We've got it on tape. We played it on the show. It was really funny stuff. But when he died, we came in and we did a tribute to Ted Kennedy, even though, again, I disagree with everything he stood for. We did a tribute here on this show to Ted Kennedy, a liberal, left-leaning, really socialist Democrat who eviscerated Republicans every chance that he got, but he did make a positive contribution in a lot of people's minds, and we weren't going to trash the dead. But when you look at it the other way around, I mean, the day Dick Cheney dies, you watch the celebrations by those on the left and those in the media. And you watch how they go to demonize him after death. And I find that really disgusting.
No, it's utterly contemptible. And it's more of the poll. You know, they talk about Andrew Breitbart being the polarizing force in politics, but Andrew Breitbart would go and have a beer with anybody.
Yeah.
And Andrew Breitbart went in on roller skates to an Occupy Wall Street rally in the Midwest, and by the time the thing was over, got everybody happy with him because he was just joking and having fun with them. He was picking on him, but he was joking and having fun with them. He brought them all back to like an Applebee's and bought them all dinner.
Wow.
And like they all hung out and talked. And I think that that's where, and especially with conservatives in this state, a lot of conservatives that I'm friends with tend to only want to be friends with conservatives because they want that insular thing. But it's what you were talking about with the Valley Patriot. There we go. We go back to it. The Valley Patriot Party. You had people from all walks of life. If you don't have people from all walks of life having discussions with you and challenging you on your beliefs in a jovial setting, then you're missing out on a tremendous portion of your life.
Yep.
If I only had friends that agreed with me all the time, I'd have a very boring life.
Right.
And you know, it takes those other people to challenge you. And that's why there's people on redmaskgroup.com that are, why do you have these quote-unquote trolls on that, you know, throw invective and talk about all that stuff. If it wasn't me, you know, if I wasn't on, if they weren't there, they wouldn't be challenging me to be better. And that's what I think that, you know, to those people that want to silence voices from the other side, they're missing out about what makes this country great.
All right, well, listen, thank you for coming, Rob. Eno, you're going to be here next week, too?
I guess I am.
Can you be here next week? Because Paul's off next week, too.
What's the date next week? That's the 10th?
Something like that.
Yes.
The 10th, yes. So I will not be hungover from the Scott Brown party at the SAC Club on the 16th. So I will be here on the 10th, yes.
Now, do I have an invite in my inbox? You're
probably invited. Mary Burns is throwing a Scott Brown fundraiser. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but if you call the Scott Brown, if you email, you know, anybody at the Scott Brown campaign, I'm sure that they would be happy to tell you where this fundraiser is and how you can give money to help Scott Brown.
I'll just call Desiree. She handles it. She can get anything done.
Yes.
When it comes to Scott Brown. Yes. Chris Sheldon, he's running for Congress. I want to give you like a real quick second to give people a phone number where they can reach you, remind people who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, Chris Sheldon running for Congress in the 9th Congressional District. That's primarily the South Shore, South Coast, Cape and Islands. Really happy to be here. Really appreciate the time. Anybody who wants to get in touch can get in touch on my website, www.electsheldon.com. Elect Sheldon, SHELDON.com, 781-242-0216. Thank you.
All right. And I also want to thank Methuen City Councilor Tom Shula, who's a fantastic new city councilor, and another new city councilor, Sean Fountain, both of whom came to the bash on Thursday night and gave us a nice commendation from the Methuen City Council, congratulating us on our 100th edition slash 8-year anniversary. For those of you who couldn't come, please, you don't have to email me and apologize. I know it was a really rough night, and I was, you know, breaking everybody's chops talking about Dan DeBruhl coming from Gardner, but he actually, I think, started off at 8 in the morning so to get here. So what was it? Everybody who came, everybody who participated, we certainly appreciate that. Next week, we're going to have a real show. We're going to talk about local issues. We've got tons of stuff going on with Willie Lantigua. We've got tons of stuff going on with Essex County Sheriff Frank Cousins now that Paul Fleming has fled the employ of Sheriff Cousins, and we'll have all kinds of stuff for you. So we'll podcast the show if you missed any of it. Rob Eno, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me, and that's redmassgroup.com. www.redmassgroup.com. Redmassgroup.com for all of your conservative news in Massachusetts.
And thank you to Penny and my family, and really, most importantly, Tracy Zisk, who writes one of our pet columns. And I actually had done like a little presentation that I put together, but she emailed me and said she wasn't coming. So I left it at home, and then she ended up being able to come, and then I felt bad. So we're going to try and do something really nice for her this week.
That's the other puppy girl.
Yeah, you're right. That's the other puppy.
The other puppy girl.
We have like another name. We're trying to find another name for her. It's like something catchy, but she writes our dog columns, and she helps us get a lot of advertising. She's wonderful. I love Tracy Zisk at Wiggles and Jiggles in North Andover. So
you got to wiggle it and jiggle it.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Timmy says we got to go, so go home already.
WCAP, Lowell, Haverhill, Lawrence, Methuen, Nashua, and Salem, New Hampshire, serving the Merrimack Valley.